You are listening to the Experience Points Podcast for the week of April 29th, 2015. And if you're not hitting your opponents with a blue shell, you're pulling their intestines out of their body through their ass.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points Podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And my name is George Alborn.
We are the co-hosts of the serious but not humorless podcast and website and YouTube videos and Twitch. Go to all those
and
places.
And a live sketch comedy show you've never seen.
Just wait till we launch our live sketch show on that new Twitter live streaming app. What's that thing called?
Is there a new one?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to guess it's called Twitter Live.
No, it's called like Porthole or something like that. Like,
that's really, a highly inappropriate.
It's called Periscope.
Weird.
We're going to get on Periscope and become superstars.
Fine. Screw it. Everyone else is live streaming.
It will help our image. Either that or going to the MLG, which is that's equally as unlikely. Today, this week, and not exactly this week, but around... I don't know. Like, the past 2 weeks, we've had two MKs come out.
Two MKs.
We've been on MK kick here. We played the original Mortal Kombat trilogy. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, and 3. Showed off our skills there on YouTube.
Or lack thereof.
We have now played Mortal Kombat X, which I am super annoyed that that is the official branding of and not just 10, because it's Mortal Kombat 10.
Sure, but then X1 is going to be, like, you're going to have knives as the eyes.
X1 so, is you wear different outfits and are pop stars.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Also, the new Mario Kart tracks are out.
Two very similar games.
Yeah. So we decided to have a little Mario Kombat or Mortal Karts.
Mortal Karts.
And we're going to talk about Mortal Kombat. We're also going to talk about the Mario Kart DLC, to which I have a season pass.
Yeah, it's like a double whammy.
Yeah, double whammy. You want to start off with Mario Kart or Mortal Kombat?
Let's start off with Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
Because I think this will be a little bit more of a... well, you know,
expert dissection of fighting games?
That's exactly right. Yeah, we should say, neither of us have discovered the illustrious location of this good I keep hearing about.
Yeah. I'm
just trying to get the good. Yeah. And I'm having trouble getting good.
Yeah.
That aside, we were fans of the last Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
In the sense that NetherRealms produces games that are over the top, ludicrous. I can't use the wrong word because it's not meant to be. It's not this sweet, delectable. It is this horrifying, grotesque thing.
I mean,
thing.
It is eye candy. You're plucking people's eye out.
And then eating it. That's candy. True. Yeah. If you're playing as Melina, you will literally eat people's faces off. They understood the sort of cultural... importance, if you will, of Mortal Kombat, that what it is basically a pulp game, and they took that to an extreme in the new modern retelling, the classic retelling of the classic Shakespearean Mortal Kombat. Where art thou, Liu Kang?
Yeah, oh, Liu Kang.
I think that this one is very much in that same wheelhouse, a sort of fun, gory, over the top, visual, deeply troubling, graphic, ludicrously violent. I feel a little bad referencing something in the beginning of this podcast. like what you see on display, that Jax, T-Rex.
Oh, yeah.
You can watch, by the way. If you are a brave listener and you want to watch our YouTube channel, Expedia.net, we have some gameplay up. The Jax T-Rex finisher.
Yeah, fatality.
Is really, really gross.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, but also hilarious.
I find it quite hilarious. So that is what these games are for.
Yeah.
I feel like anything beyond that is just kind of moot, right?
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, this is not a game that the fighting community generally takes seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I think MK9 was the big, it was the big play. Like, it was at Evo. Like, it was at some of the...
Well, this will probably be at Evo, too, but surely that's mostly because they'll be co-sponsors or something, right? Like, you still want fighting game legitimacy to be taken seriously, but who plays this game and uses, say, like, the crazy X-ray finishers, right? Like, those are so... It's clearly icing on the cake, such that I imagine most people who take fighting games seriously pass that up.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched a few of the tournaments. Like, I've watched a few of the... Like the early ones and some of the streamers and stuff.
Or MKX.
Yeah, and MK9 back when it was more popular. But, I mean...
That's MK backwards P, I believe. Yeah. 1X, I should say. IX.
Yeah, MKIX. I mean, at a certain point, those folks are so skilled that doing the combos are better than the X-rays.
Right.
Like, they do more damage, so the X-rays kind of fall off. Mm. But...
Yeah, because they're just going to mess up. They'll block it.
And, yeah. I mean, it's MK has kind of... gone back and forth in terms of technicality over the decades.
Right.
I don't think... I mean, it definitely doesn't have the type of following that Street Fighter has, but it's kind of like a Smash level of following.
Yeah. You know? Probably less than Smash, right?
We underestimate how big the fighting game community is because we only basically play Smash. Like, Smash is still considered kind of a joke.
Yeah, but you wouldn't consider us in the fighting game community, right? That's kind of the point. Is Mortal Kombat and Smash have wider reach than the quote-unquote fighting game community?
What I'm saying is I think the people that are paying attention, close attention to MK, are people that are more hardcore than we are. And, like, we don't even interact with them, you know?
That's true. I don't think I want to interact with them. Let's be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it will still be there. And, like... they've made some actual substantive mechanical changes to this one,
mm-hmm.
Which I actually don't like. I think this is a worse game than MK9.
So what are the mechanical changes that you're talking about?
The biggest one is the stamina meter, which is different from the special meter.
Yep.
So like back in MK9, they adopted the like Street Fighter 4 3-tier special meter. Like one is a counter, or one is a extra little zinger on your special move. Two is you can break a combo. Three is you can do your super move or your X-ray move.
And you can use any of those individual pieces into other special attacks to empower them.
Yeah,
commonly.
Exactly. Yeah, you can enhance. You're basically buffering another move, which is fine. And they had that in the last game. But the stamina meter is a bigger change where like you can do some kind of back dashes and forward dashes, and that takes meter. Or if you're going to interact with the stage, like hopping over people, that also takes meter. And some of the special moves require a full meter in order to perform.
Right. So is your issue that it's an extra unnecessary layer of mechanics to pay attention to? Or is this like tripping and...
I mean, it's not random, but I feel like the way that MK works, which is very... Street Fighter is quarter circles.
Mm-hmm.
MK is cardinal directions. Okay. Like, the moves in MK are down-back, whereas Street Fighter would be quarter-circle-back. It requires that interstitial movement.
Yeah. Which I should say, by the way, that interstitial movement, to me, makes more sense.
Yeah.
Like, I find it easier to understand the logic of inputting some of those special moves than I do the Mortal Kombat moves. Like, it's almost even easier for me to just read the move list in Street Fighter and say, okay, here's how I would execute on that.
Mm-hmm. And there's ways to tweak the controls, too, that I haven't really played around with all that much, but just the general... And it's been this way for, you know, 20-something years. Like, MK has just always kind of controlled like this. And so what happens then is, in order to dodge or dash forward, you have to tap the direction 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
But because most of your special moves and just normal moves are done by tapping, it's really easy to do the wrong thing.
Yep.
And also, there's another thing where you can run,
mm-hmm.
And in order to run, you need to tap, and then hit a shoulder button. So sometimes when you're trying to block or when you're trying to, you know, switch up a move, you end up just randomly running at people because the controls just aren't as precise feeling to me as they were in MK9. Like, I just think the stamina meter, I'm not quite sure why the stamina meter needed to be there.
Yeah.
I guess maybe I can puzzle it out as we talk, but like...
Also doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Like, you're pummeling these people, but but taking quick 2 steps forward, oh man, it just tires you out.
I mean, there's... the stamina meter is required for the interactive stage parts.
Which, by the way, like, those seem like a direct answer to... What is the... Injustice?
Well, I mean, it's the same company.
Yeah.
Like, they made it, so, like...
Yeah, but, I mean, those showed up in Injustice because they're super cinematic. Like, they lend themselves really well to that cinematic joy of watching the fighting game.
Mm.
So it makes sense that they made their way into Mortal Kombat. I don't know if they're useful or cool. I mean, and it feels like the stamina meter is maybe a response to... I would imagine that maybe it's a way to limit that type of interaction.
Yeah.
Or giving it more mechanical significance than, say, press A when you're in this location or press B when you're in this location.
Like, yep.
It adds a level of maybe counterplay that didn't exist in Injustice, maybe.
I never played Injustice, so was there anything stopping you from...
I mean, I have no idea. I didn't play Injustice either. I presume. We are... I mean, I don't think there was a stamina meter in Injustice. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean,
I just make fun of it because they call it God's Humongous.
I mean, they're big.
They're big dudes.
I think I can definitely see there's times where I have, like, just been in trouble. And it's like, okay, if I can just grab this. The funniest one is there's an old lady that you just throw at somebody from the background. Like, it's just an old lady walking around in the market.
Okay, but what about Mortal Kombat, Scott? We're talking about Mortal Kombat.
My stamina meter, I just couldn't contain. I mean,
some of them, like, jumping on the wall to get out from being cornered, like, that's an interesting idea, but that's pretty significant, right? I mean, you're used to being boxed in old fighting games. Did you be able to jump off of an invisible wall over your opponents?
Well,
invisible wall, I guess, in this case.
I mean, yeah, the other thing is that the dodge is... It's just one type of dodge. So the first time someone does that to you, it's surprising. But the second and third and 50th time, you're like, oh, I know exactly where this person's going
to
be.
Right, so you learn to hit backwards. Right.
So it's definitely a desperation move, you know?
Right.
I'm not quite sure. I suppose it is something that people don't expect. Like, I'm thinking that someone's going to combo me. I didn't expect for them to just take this rock and throw it.
Right.
So, like, it's a mix-up. But I'm not... There's not enough of them, and they don't persist. Like, once you've done it one time, a lot of those things are done for the round.
Right.
So...
Oh, what do you... You want them to, like, have an endless supply of, lambs and stuff?
Infinite old ladies. just throwing.
You want an old lady? I can get you an old lady, Scott. I mean, the one thing I'll say, though, is that, again, this is in service to that cinematic, there are people watching you... presumably play.
Yeah.
And this game is designed for them, not for you. Like, this is for people who are watching and they want to see you throw an old lady at some dude and then there's lava and some beast in the background is, like, taking out a statue or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's... It's meant to be a visual treat, and that doesn't always lend itself well to readability or predictability or what have you. Like, I'm not a fighting game aficionado, so I don't know what the actual significance of some of those mechanics are. But from the perspective of someone watching other people play, it's still a treat to watch.
Yeah, and I think these games are now fun to watch in a way that other fighting games are fun, because the combos have gotten so intricate that you can do 11, 12, 20-hit combos, you know, if you really put your mind to it.
Anything is possible.
Except for me, because clearly I'm terrible at MK, but, like, I just can't get it. Yeah, I mean, I think I just think they're trying to walk an interesting line of, like, they're still sticking with their way of fighting games, and they're sticking with this has to be a spectacle.
Right.
But they're also going up against, okay, well, this also has to be highly technical. We have to, you know, figure out how to implement all these combos and modifiers and,
It's not a fun place to be.
Counters. I mean, it's weird.
Well, so earlier you were saying you were thinking about this in relation to Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So what is it about, like, Smash and MK that you were comparing, or what, you know?
I
know that you're not going to leave Smash for MK.
Nope.
But that's because, you know, you're a filthy casual.
I'm never going to leave Rosalina. So I was thinking about this. I was thinking, like, there's how many characters? I mean, there's at least 24 characters or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of those characters has 3 different variants that change up their special moves and their combos and stuff.
Sure.
So, like, you got, you know, I don't know how many characters there are. Let's just say 16 or 20 or something. Multiply that by 3. You got to remember, like, what the matchups are for each of those.
Right.
And for each of those characters, the special moves are different. Like, back forward triangle on Jax is different from back forward triangle on Melina.
Right.
And they're not even necessarily both fireball attacks.
Right.
So
they might not even have back forward triangles.
Exactly. And so, like, I've gotten to this point in my life where I'm such a casual that I'm like, well, I'll give it 2 ways. I'm either such a casual or I've just transcended to the pure meta.
Okay.
So, like, on the casual side, it's like, okay, I can't memorize this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Like, there's too much shit in my brain and I just cannot do it, you know? Right. I'm not going to be able to.
Right.
And so with Smash, you know generally speaking, up in B is always going to be some sort of aerial move.
Right.
You know that down in B is either going to be a counter or a short range move or, you know, something that...
Or lightning from the sky.
Which is, again, is a short range move. Pikachu is stationary.
Yes.
Like, you never, like, you have these general rules and the inputs are the same. Right. The outputs are different, but the inputs are the same.
Yeah. Well, and also, because they're such iconic, weird, crazy characters, I think they're much easier to read,
right?
That's
true.
Like, Pikachu acts like Pikachu.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, to be fair, if I was following every MK game, I'd be like, oh, of course Molina's thing is back forward.
Right? Sure. And like, yeah, you know, Ermac, like, has all of these weird, like, right, hovering abilities and stuff like that. Sure. But I mean, at the same time, it's meant to be a bit more, the graphical fidelity of this, right? It's supposed to be this visual treat where all of these characters are rough and gross. You can see their sweat and their blood when their faces get ripped off and stuff like that. There's a really great... benefit of the cartoon aesthetic from Smash in that it's super readable for you to understand, and as you play, the easier it gets. Right. I mean, what the craziest character in Smash is, what, like Duck Hunt? Like, okay, you don't know that. Oh yeah, he throws cans in weird arcs and stuff, but it doesn't take long for you to figure it out.
Yeah, I think this is more of a function of just I'm not used to MK, which I'm willing to write off as like, oh, sure, yeah, that's just me being a noob.
One more
like,
casuals.
But on the other side, when it comes to fighting games and just a lot of competitive games in general, I'm more interested less about the button presses themselves and more about what are people thinking when they do those button presses.
Right.
Like, I'm less... The reason I like Smash so much and the reason why I'm, for somehow... I'm over 50% win rate in Smash Brothers Online.
Whoa, like, buddy. We got a badass over here.
I mean, like, that rarely happens to me in any game.
Right.
But one of the reasons why is because even though I'm kind of terrible at fighting games, I'm okay at the meta. Like, I know the types of players,
right,
and I can guess what they're going to do, and that makes up for my deficiency in dexterity. Right. So it's like, oh, I know this guy. He is the type of person that gets mad if he takes early damage.
Right.
Or like, I know this guy. He's the type of guy that will fall back on his smash attack.
Right.
Or this is the type of Shulk that always does the jump move.
Right.
This is just that type of guy. And so it's not really about like, I have to memorize these combos. It's more about like, how can I read my opponent?
Right.
And so I'd rather
memorizing just, like archetypes.
Yeah, almost. Exactly. Like I'd rather think about the battle strategy rather than the battle tactics.
Right.
And so Smash Brothers, because it's more simplistic, and because there's way more of an emphasis on stage control, it lets you do this thing where it's like, okay, how am I actually going to approach this battle? Even though I'm probably not as good as this person, I still have a chance to win, I think. Whereas in a thing like MK, man, if someone can press the buttons better than me, that's it. Yep. Like, I just can't, I don't think I can compete with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are good reasons why these two games are so different than one another, but also why... Even though Mortal Kombat is a more cinematic experience, I have a hard time imagining people who are actually playing it to make a move. Like, if you were playing competitive fighting games with friends and you have Smash and MK, why would you play MK when you could be playing Smash?
Yeah.
Unless you're just, like, a really hardcore fighting game fan and that's what you do. But which, by all means, of course, you're going to be doing that. But, I mean, when it comes to just even the cinematic experience, I feel like you're getting such a rich experience out of Smash anyway. I just don't see myself... having much interest of playing something like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. I'm going to finish off the story mode just to see what it
just
looks
like. Just to get that sweet lore.
I mean...
get your fan fiction ready.
It's so dumb, but I admire how long they've stayed with this lore.
Yeah. I mean, this is a classic A for effort.
It really is. Yeah. Like, I mean, I cannot believe that they're still... fucking around with the Shadow World. And it's the Outworlder.
Well, you're saying like, people have kids now and stuff?
This Johnny is so Cage weird. And Sonya have a child. Yeah. She's the selfie person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cassie.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, MK, I think I liked MK9 mechanically, but MKX, I get it. Like, I understand what they were doing.
Should we talk about Mario Kart?
Yeah, let's talk about...
Get a smooth transition.
Yeah, here's the fucking transition. MK is where we watch horrific violence. Mario Kart is where we carry out horrific violence on everything.
Very true, very true. So we've just recently played, and you've gotten more experience than I, for sure. The new tracks.
New tracks.
Villager's got, like, he's got a bunch of stuff going on. And I guess maybe the bigger news is the 200cc speed.
You thought there would never be more CCs.
It's only 50 extra CCs? But boy, are those CCs.
The most painful CCs in the world.
I mean, it's so funny because you get to this point where we've played so much Mario Kart. You know, this Mario Kart 8 was on each of our top games of last year.
Yep.
Great game.
Yep.
You get to this point where you're playing and it's second nature, right? You're like, you're going through the track. You mess up because someone tags you with a green shell or something. But, you know, consistently, you're in the top 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Add an extra 50 CCs and all of a sudden, I don't know what the hell is going on. We're going so fast. I'm not taking the curves at the right speed. I'm not drifting at the right times. I'm not, like, reacting fast enough. I'm not entirely sure I want to pick up coins. Like, because we played both the new tracks and the old tracks, and even in the old tracks, I found myself really disoriented by the new speed.
It's fast. I mean, I think 200 CCs is... this is the douchiest thing to say or whatever, but I mean, I feel like this is...
the real man's game.
It really is. Like, this is the way Mario Kart was meant to be played.
Oh, because, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't go that far.
You have to read the track. Like, I feel like 200 CCs is proof... for people like me who are like, no, Mario Kart's a legit racing game, everyone. Yes. Like, you should really, like, you know, think about this.
That's true.
Like,
I mean, this is where you will be mechanically tested.
Right.
And I think 200 CCs is really only for those who are not faint of heart.
Yeah.
Right? And there is rubber banding and all of that normal stuff, but it doesn't matter. 200 CCs is where you don't play this with your friends and family. Like, this is not...
You play it alone, like, in shame.
I mean, really, though. Like, this is... It was enough of a difference, I thought, that I quickly realized this is not the speed that you whip out at a party. Like, play with friends. Yeah. To be fair, even a 150cc is pretty fast for people who don't play a lot of Mario Kart.
I mean, and you combine that with, like, people have one drink in them, and it's like, no way. Like, this is definitely not the casual... This is, like, the hardcore version of Mario Kart.
Rainbow Road at 200cc, I don't even understand how that's physically, humanly possible.
It looks like the end of... 2001 A Space Odyssey, where you're just like, oh, you're like rainbows in your
mouth. I would just want to go at my own pace. Like, you know what? I'm fine, guys. Just ignore me. I'm not going to eat these mushrooms. Just like, go, break.
I'm the DD. It's fine.
Sure.
Fine. Yeah, I have to go through, I haven't gone through every single track on 200 CCs, like, not even close, but I think I might just to, like, see it.
The difference.
Because, I mean, it was disorienting at first, but then the last few races that we did, I was like, frequently getting first or second, so, like, it's definitely doable. Right. You just have to, like,
it's certainly something that you have to get used to for sure. I mean, just like anything else, right? In the past Mario Kart games, that becomes second nature again. I'm kind of curious to know what it would feel like to get really used to 200 CCs and then go back to 150.
Like, it'd be like the Flash, like when the thing slows down. Yeah,
I mean, it must get you off, right? Because all of a sudden you're like drifting way early.
You're like God mode.
Yeah, that's true. That could be like, you know, like, wait, what is it when people run underwater?
You're just like,
exactly.
You're just like Neo at that point.
I've got this.
Yeah, I liked it quite a bit. I think the tracks are pretty strong too. Like, I've been pleasantly, because I mean, this is one of Nintendo's earlier
Neo, like, Bowser.
Like, the updates are cool. Neo Bowser looks great.
Yep.
I think that, like, Nintendo has actually done it, it's well worth the DLC this time. Like, it wasn't by any means a cheap DLC package, but it also wasn't a sloppy one, like, when they actually delivered.
The map where everything is a sort of, like, a small-scale toy. You look above the whole track, and it's like a children's bedroom.
Yeah.
And then you zoom in, and you're racing on the track.
That was fun.
And the pink fluff that's like carpet feels like carpet when you're driving over it, because it slows you down.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a ribbon that fluctuates. Like, that's such good aesthetic design, and just... actual, like, road track design.
Yeah.
I'm thoroughly impressed every time. I mean, the one exception would be that bizarre baby game. Like, there's that one map that's just four turns. It's just like NASCAR.
Yeah, it's a tiny little NASCAR. Yeah. Turns.
It's such a troll level, though.
Oh, it is.
But even that is brilliant. And I think you've got this great encapsulation, right, where that level is self-aware.
Mm.
They're making a funny, silly level, because they know that it's not what people expect.
Yeah.
But they don't cut corners. right? And the map itself, like all of the aesthetic around it, is gorgeous. It looks really good. They clearly put in all this time to design this weird little theme park, and there's roller coasters going over your head, none of which you're interacting with at all.
Nope.
Even one of the curves has like a small grass patch that you technically could cut.
Yep.
If you were coming at it at the right angle and the right speed.
Yeah.
Such that there's still a level of like counterplay and mechanical like forethought that goes into it when you're considering how the people who are really good at Mario Kart can try to approach that level.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful little like nugget of design.
Yeah.
In that one singular level.
Mario Kart 8 is like it's like the Mario Galaxy of the Mario Kart franchise. Like whoever was doing the level design and like
just what is the Mario Kart Sunshine of Mario?
We don't talk about the Mario Kart Sunshine. I call that Double Dash. Oh snap. Fired. Yeah, I think the level of detail that they put into it, even modernizing the old tracks, like, makes sense in the Mario Kart 8 universe. The one that I like the best, I think, is the last one we played,
which is... The F-Zero one?
Yeah,
What
is Big Blue or whatever Big it's Blue, called, like, yeah. Captain Falcon.
I mean, it opens up with this amazing, especially at 200cc, this amazing, like, corkscrew descent, where if you're drifting, you could drift for, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah,
like,
you're just drifting.
Non-stop drifting. There's a level of, like, they put that front and center. They didn't put it in the middle of the track. They put it on the end of the track. Because they wanted to, like, give you this sort of really, like, gut-wrenching rush, right off the bat to, like, get you into this level.
Yeah.
And I think it's almost comparable in some ways to Mortal Kombat in the sense that they know exactly why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You're here because it's, like, super silly, but also it's really fun and exhilarating. And they create that and give it to you in, like, the first... you know, 3 seconds of that map opening up. And overall, that map is really good. I really enjoy the maps that don't circle back and are just solid descents.
Yeah.
That's cool. Really cool.
What do you think about the characters? Let's talk about Dry Bowser.
I mean, he looks rad. Dry Bowser is cool.
He was hard to control at 250cc's, I'll say that.
At 200? Is it 250 or
200? Sorry, 200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, out of curiosity, like, would you play, like, is 250cc something that interests you?
Give me more cc's.
Really?
I just want to see what happens.
I mean, I feel like at that point you're going so fast that you're just breaking the game, right?
I feel
800cc's.
Yeah, 200cc's. I have a hard time imagining the game at that point. Because there's already, like, at 200cc's you have to... I think, though, if you play a couple times at 200 and drop back down, you'll be better. Because it teaches you these techniques where, like... you need to drift, and you need to commit to the drift. And if you feel yourself spinning out, you need to turn into the drift and not go out, because that will fling you off. Like, you need to use physics to continue and cut back in.
What do you mean, turn into the drift? Am I getting a lesson right now? Like, turning into the drift, meaning, like, so if you're turning left and drifting to the right, you turn right?
No, turn...
Keep turning left.
No, keep turning right. So, like, if you're... Let's say you're taking a right-hand turn.
Yes.
You hit the jump button and immediately jam the stick right.
Right. And then you're drifting left.
You're drifting left, but... And then you feel like, oh, God, I'm drifting so far left, I should stop. But really, you should just double down on right because it cuts you back in really hard.
What if you're all the way to the... Your stick is all the way to the right and you're still drifting too far
to
the left?
Well, that's... You should stop using your mushrooms at that point. It's so, like, getting 10 coins on 200cc's and then hitting a mushroom is insanity.
It's absurd.
Yeah, it's absolutely so fast. Like,
I mean, there came a point where, like, I was trailing in, like, butt last.
Yeah.
And I picked up a gold mushroom. That's the last thing I want. I don't want this. Give me a bullet where it's just, like, hands off. I'm going 200cc's and it's perfect track. The gold mushrooms do nothing.
Yeah, it's the level of, like, you need to be watching the track way further out.
Yep.
Like, instead of looking at the curve, like, 50 feet away, you need to be looking, like, 200 feet away.
I mean, it especially rewards those who memorize the track.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure. Like, it's... The time trials of this are going to be really cool to watch.
Yeah.
Because people are just going to be... you'll have to do a perfect run, basically. Yep.
I think this is just another cool way of reinvigorating the game. And I actually... You know what? You own it. I don't own it. I almost bought it yesterday. But I should probably pick it up.
I mean, it's an interesting thing overall, just from a business perspective, because... we did this with MK too. Like MK has like approximately $60 worth of DLC that you could also buy.
We did the math. It was like 124,
I something think. Like that. Like
if you wanted to buy all the pieces of DLC and unlockables,
right?
That's not DLC. It's already in the game,
right? They did like kind of an EA thing where you can like unlock the fatalities or whatever. But you know, it's an interesting because the Mario Kart 8, it came out almost a year ago now.
Right.
Like it's just about a year, so. I think this might have been better served maybe a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
I think people have fallen off a little bit.
I mean, I remember when you bought the season pass, and it was like, oh, this isn't coming out until like April or next year.
2015? That's
crazy.
That's the future.
Yeah, we'll be driving Mario Kart to the sky at that point.
Yeah, it's interesting to see
self-driving Mario Kart.
Thanks, Google. But MK just kind of puts it up right up front, you know, like, here's all the character packs, here's Goro. Mm-hmm. Like, on the character select screen, it was like, press X to buy Goro, and I was like, ew, oh gross. God. Like, yeah. That's kind of like, ugh. But, you know, you can either put it out right away, or you can try to keep the you know, your eye on reinvigorating it 9 to 12 months after the release.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Especially on a Nintendo platform where you have other things like Smash Brothers competing, I'm not quite sure what that does for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is the quality of DLC that they're going to put out, hell, I mean, I wish Smash had this much quality DLC. Like, fuck Mewtwo. Like, geez, yeah. You know, like, I don't get it. Yeah, it's weird. I would gladly pay for more Mario Kart tracks.
Yeah.
Like, Mario Kart 8 turning into the burnout of Mario Kart would be incredible.
Oh, man, open world Mario Kart?
It would be incredible.
It would be amazing. Yeah. Well, I mean, are they done, or what's their DLC plan at this point?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard anything besides this. I mean, I almost forgot about this, but the Wii U gamepad turned on of its own accord and told me about it.
Scott, wake up.
I was like, thanks, Wii U gamepad. Wait, are you looking at me?
Normally I tell it to shut up.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a good palate cleanser, but also strangely similar to MK because
it was so punishing.
It's so punishing, and it's also for people that really like the thing.
Yes. Yeah, you know? Yeah, 100% agree with
that. It's not really to get new people into it.
Although, again, you can always just play those levels at 50 CCs.
Right.
And the new levels are really cool. Like, that level where you just circle around four right turns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you had, like, a 6-year-old nephew or, you know,
he'd be beating us.
I mean, yeah, of course he would. But the point being is, like, that's a level of simplicity, but still a lot of, you know, what Nintendo's always been good at, which is a difficulty curve that you
scaling
can,
it, yeah.
Yeah, scale for yourself and do on your own. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Two MKs.
MK squared
is
week.
Is there another, like, MK game we don't know about that's coming out? Mario Killer?
Mario... Oh, Killer Instinct is
Killer,
coming back?
Killer Instinct?
I don't think there's any other MKs.
There's no MKs. Well, Mario, I mean, Ks, are, you know, that's a rare letter.
Mortal Kombat.
Both of which are, by the way, misspellings of the second word.
That's true. What? Fucking
conspiracy theory.
Same universe.
Same universe. That's right. Dude, I would buy... If it was press X to buy Goro in Mario Kart 8...
If it was press X to buy Mario in MK...
What if Goro could hold two items at the same time?
Oh my god. And he's driving two carts? Yeah, that's all of the MKs that can fit. And
into one single podcast.
I just want to see Raiden... Or I just want to see Luigi shove a blue shell into Raiden's skull.
Oh my god.
And have it explode. Well,
just pay 99 cents for that.
Yeah, they'll unlock it straight for you. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our nether realm.
Oh, no.
I get it.
The green shell's going to the nether realm.
Leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher. That helps us find new listeners. We really appreciate that.
Yep.
And as we mentioned, YouTube and Twitch. And
YouTube.com/exp.net. You can see us play Mortal Kombat poorly.
Very poorly, but we still have fatalities.
Yeah, we do. And what was the stupid mode that we played?
Oh, lucky...
Test your luck. Yes. That's worth it. That's a pretty fun mode. All right, until next time, everyone, thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Finish it.
Luigi, what did you do?
What have you done?
What? I see a toad. I see his insides.
Oh, God. Yeah, where do you think he got that tanuki suit? He ripped off the flesh of the fucking inside. Magical tanuki.
I skinned him.
I skinned him alive.
It was him or me.